Blog Talk Radio.
This is Taino Sagrado right here in the beautiful Lenny Lenape land of New York City. I'd like to welcome everyone. I'd like to thank Anani Ramos for her beautiful theme song she dedicated to the show. And check this out. This is part four, Taino Creation Stories. Thank you all for listening, and thank you all once again for downloading the show. This is all about education. Why? Because this is Wasabara Taino Radio, old school right here in cyberspace, the Yukayeke, which we call, guess what, Wasabara Taino Radio. Please check out the website. It's called TainoSpidey.webs.com. You can tune into some great information there about upcoming shows. We're trying to get every show 11 p.m. in the evenings. We're working to that. I'm trying to get as much information. I'm doing a lot of research tonight. We have a little special guest later on after the talking about the creation stories, part four. Now, remember, I'm going a little slow here with these creation stories. Today, I want to talk about era number two, or the universal cycle in the Taino ancestral way. As I mentioned before, the Fray Ramon Pané wrote some stuff down. Future shows are going to talk about how maybe it was not him, but Juan Mateo, but that's for another night. So basically, chapter one, he talks Ramon Pané. He's going to, in chapter one, he talks about the creation of humanity and how does that come about. And that's right after. It's not really in order, and he admits that later on. But basically, we started with Yaya, Yayael, Itibaka Hubaba, introduction of Deminam, Mayamanako, and our last time, and the creation of the oceans. But check this out. Tonight, we're going to talk about when the turtle mother gave birth to human beings. And so we're going to go all the way to chapter one, because we know Pané didn't know what he was writing. It was really Juan Mateo. But once again, that's another show. So tune into that. So I'm going to read. Like I said, we're not going to interpret. We're not going to go into it tonight. That's for future shows. I'm just going to read it as is. These are seeds for future discussion. So in chapter one, he talks about of the place from which the Indians came and how they came. In Española, there is a province called Caonao, in which is found a mountain called Cauta, having two caves named Casibahagua and Amayahuba. From Casibahagua came the majority of the people who settled the island. And when they lived in that cave, they posted a guard at night, and he entrusted that charge to a man named Macocael. And they say that one day the sun carried him off because he was late in coming to the door. And seeing that the sun had carried him away, this man, for neglecting his duties, they closed the door to him. And so he was changed into a stone near that door. And they say that others who have gone fishing were also caught by the sun and changed into the trees called hobos. The reason why Michael Caed kept guard was to see in what direction he should send or distribute the people, and his lateness was his undoing. So ends chapter one here. He talks about, we have some characters here. We have Michael Caed, and then we have Gasibahagua, Amayauba, in a province called Caonabo. So we're going to talk about this in the future, okay? Just want to introduce you some new names, places, people, or persons. Chapter 2, how the women were separated from the men. It once happened that Guajayona told another man named Yadrubaba to go depict the herb called digo, with which they clean their bodies when they bathe. So he went out before dawn, and the sun caught up on the road and changed him into a bird which sings in the morning like the nightingale, and it is called Cajubaba Babael, Bayael. Guajayona, seeing that the man he had sent to look for Digo did not return, he decided to come out of the cave, Gasibahagua. So ends chapter 2. So we have some more characters, Guajayona and Yadrubaba. Okay, once again, this herb, Digo, is playing a large role in these stories so far. So, chapter 3. Then Guajayona, angry because the men he had sent to pick Digo for his bath did not return, decided to go away and said to the women, "Leave your husbands, and we shall go to another land and take much Digo with us. Leave your children, for we shall take only the herb with us. Later, we shall return for the children." So later on, we could really digest this in future shows. I just want to introduce you to these stories, okay? Okay, chapter 4. Guajayona left with all the women and went in search of other lands and came to a land called Maitinino, where he soon left the women there and departed for another region, and that region is called Guanin. The women had left their little children by a brook, and when the latter began to grow hungry, they wept and called on their mothers who had gone away. Now the fathers could not help their children, and in their hunger, the children called out, "Mama," and they were really asking for the breast. So, weeping and asking for the breast, and saying too, like one who instantly asked for something, they changed into little tree frogs called tona, and because they had asked for the breast, this is how men were left without women. There's a lot of stuff going on there. We're going to dissect this later on in future shows. Just want you to listen. Chapter 5, how the women returned from the island of Española, which was formerly called Haiti, that being the name of its inhabitants, and this and the other islands were called Boihi. As these Indians have no alphabet or writing, they cannot give a coherent account of these matters, but they have them from their forebears. Therefore, if their accounts do not agree, nor is it possible to write down in orderly fashion what they say. So here is Ramon Panay right now. He's a little confused. When Guajayona, the one who carried off the woman, went away, he also took with him the wives of his cacique, Anacacuya, deceiving these women as he had done the others. There also went in a brother-in-law of Guajayona named Anacacuya, who entered the sea with him. And when they were in the canoe, Guajayona said to his brother-in-law, "See that beautiful gobo in the water?" Now, gobo means like seashell. This gobo was lying in the sea, and when Guajayona looked into the water, his brother-in-law, Wahayona, grabbed his feet and threw him in the water. Thus Wahayona had all the women to himself and left those of Maitinino. It is said that today there are only women on that island. And he departed for another island called Guanin because of what he took away from there. So, we're going to go now to chapter 6. How Wahayona returned to the island of Canta. So, Wahayona, whence he had brought the women. They say that when Wahayona was in the land to which he had gone, he saw that he had left a woman in the sea. He had great pleasure with her, but soon had to look for many bathhouses in which to wash himself because it was full of those sores that we call the French sickness. She placed him in a guanara, which means a place apart. There he was cured of his sores. And afterwards she asked him permission to continue on her way, which he granted. This woman was named Guabonito, and Wahayona changed his name, henceforth calling himself Bebabarayel Wahayona. And Guabonito gave to Babarayel Wahayona many guanines and many sibas to wear tied on his arms. And these sibas are stones which most resemble marble, in which they wear on their necks and arms. They wear the guanines in their ears, which they perforate when they are small. And these guanines are made of metal, like that of which florins are made. And they say that these guanines began with Guabonito, Abeborayel, Wahayona, and the father of Abeborayel, Wahayona. Wahayona stayed in the country with his father, named Yauna. His son took from his father the name Iaguali Guanin, which means the son of Yauna. Later, he called himself Guanin, as is called that today. And as the Indians have no alphabet or writing, they do not tell their myths well, nor can I write them down accurately. And I fear that I am telling many things first and first last, but I put it down just as I had it from the natives of the country. So here's once again Ramon Panay. He has no clue what's in the beginning, what's in the end. Now he's blaming our ancestors for not, you know, having an alphabet. And this I'm going to talk about in a future show. I'm trying to get Dr. Antonio Arroyo Stevens, and in his theory he talks about that it wasn't Panay who wrote this. It was actually Juan Mateo Cacique Guatibala. Before he was killed, he wrote these stories down. Now, I'm going to end it there. This is the end of the second era in the Taino universe, and it's the era of Wahayona. It's a transformation from leaving the cave, and he was the only one. He was the first one not to be transformed into anything. First it was stones, and it was birds, and he was given the permission by Wei, the sun, to begin. And as we can see, there's some illnesses going on. He had to separate the women from the men. He left the babies behind. He took them to another island. And then eventually he killed his brother-in-law, who was his chief. So we're going to unpack that in the future, you know. Just like the biblical studies, we're going to unravel the hidden meanings, the coding, and so on. And Panay had no clue what he was reading. But we're going to help him out 538 years later. And check this out. Then we have Wahayona, meaning a beautiful woman, Guabonito, who actually cured him of his ailments, of the sores. And they say that she put him in a guanara, which translates a place apart. And this is going to be an interesting word, guanara. What does that actually mean? Many people have interpreted it as a sweat lodge or a purification lodge, but that's for future discussion, not today. So check this out. So now that he's cured, he's changing his name. Now this Guabonito gives him many sibas, these stones that he puts around his arms, around his neck, and so on. And also the earrings, the guaninas in his earlobes. So we're having the creation of culture, traditions, healing ceremonies. Okay, so on future shows, we're going to come back to these creation stories. I just want you to look it over, okay? I know creation stories many people interpret as similar to the Greek mythology and so on. There's much to be learned. A lot of people have, I'm sorry, my mic just got some issues here. Yeah, we're getting to the point where the more we study these creation stories, the more it unravels these meanings. Before he comes on, I'm going to put on a song, and it was by my teacher, my first Taino music teacher and singer. His name was the late great Edwin Cedeño. It's from his CD Taino. I don't have any rights to this song, but I have artistic and spiritual rights to play his song so his memory could live on. And if Edwin was here, he'll be very happy that we're talking about the creation stories. I remember doing a gig with him in Connecticut. He had me read the whole creation story in front of a whole crowd in a restaurant. And I kept looking at him, are you sure you want me to read the whole thing? He's like, yeah, read the whole thing, while he's playing his drums in the background, the Maya Wakan. It was a cool experience. All people are eating their steak and potatoes. It was quite interesting. Never forgot that. It's the first time I wrote about the creation stories. So I'm going to play a song called Atabe from his song. Difficulties here. See what I can do here. Just give me 1 second. It is a problem here with my board here. Okay, I'll promise to have this with you next time, my next show. I'm having an issue with my studio board here. I really need to hire a DJ. Even though in past shows and Awake Radio, I was the DJ for a couple of nights and played some nice songs. So it was fun. I might bring that back, some DJing night. So right now, I just want everyone to... I just got a message. Oh, wow. I'm so sorry about that. The person that was going to come on today is unable to come on. I have to get him on another show. Just reading the email now. So basically, I had a guest star. I was going to come in and talk about the first era of the creation stories. And I've been getting these questions. I got 3 emails. And this is why I want to get my guests in there today. But we're going to do it for another show. But I got 3 emails from 2 Tainos and 1 Native American. And they were talking about, a northern tribal member was talking about the creation stories when Deminon and his 3 brothers discovered this turtle woman. You know, a lot of people were asking about, does she represent Turtle Island? And I'm definitely going to, or the Earth Mother as well. So that's going to be for a future show as well. So, because that's like an hour show right there to talk about that. But also, adds to that, I also got some emails talking about, can Deminon, which are the spiritual sacred being, and his brothers, could they be star people? And the Tainos are trying to explain what happened to their beginnings. And this turtle right? Gave birth to humanity. So these are different, you know, these are celestial beings giving birth to humanity or to a hybrid race. Now, I promise these folks that I am going to dedicate a show, but I need to get an expert on this, you know, star people. There's a lot of tribes up north, and they talk about the star people. I know there's a lot of Lakotas. It's part of their creation stories as well, that our ancestors do come from the stars. And there's many shows on TV, like UFO Hunters and so on. And, oh, what's that show? Ancient Aliens. They talk about star people, Native Americans, you know, they saw their ancestors. Also in the Bible, it talks about different stories of the angels and so on. They could possibly be star people as well. So in 2 weeks, I plan to do, maybe by the end of next week, we're going to do a special one-hour show on this, in which we're going to talk about the star people and the creation stories. I had another email from a northern brother talking about the connection between the Hopi Kachinas and Semis. Could they probably be the same, you know, the same beings, you know, Kachinas and Semis? Wow, that's going to be a powerful show. I promised the person I'm going to do some research on that, the Kachinas and Semis. And today I was doing some research about Semis, you know, about how the Semis, these sacred beings, gave us identity. They gave us an identity as a people. When these Semis were destroyed, it's not good. It wasn't good. It just created that trauma. So what I want to do is I want to end with an introduction to the third era, or the third cycle of Taino universe. And this is how the women return from the island of Haiti, which in Pané's writing, he calls it Española. They say that one day the men went to wash themselves, and while they were in the water, it rained hard, and they felt great desire for women. Frequently, when it rained, they sought traces of their wives, but could not find them. And however, that day, as they were washing themselves, they saw falling from the trees, sliding down the branches, some creatures that were neither men nor women, and had neither male nor female genitals. They tried to catch them, but they slipped away like eels. So by orders of their cacique, they summoned two or three men who should see how many of these creatures they were, and who should bring as many of the men of the kind called caracaracol, because they had rough hands, who would be able to catch them and tie them down. And they told the cacique that there were four of these creatures. So they brought four men who were caracaracoles. And this caracaracol is a sickness, like the scab that makes the body very rough. So when they had caught them, they consider how they could have made women out of them, since they had neither men or male nor female genitals. So, in chapter 8, it gets into more description. And Pané says how they devise a way of making women of them. So they found a bird now called Ingriri. And in ancient times, Ingriri Guajayabael, that is the woodpecker, which bore holes in trees, and then, seizing those women without male or female genitals, they bound their hands and feet and tied the bird to the body of each. The bird, thinking there were trees, began his customary work, pecking and hollowing out the place where women's genitals are, or meant to be. And then the Indians say that it is in this manner in which they acquire women, as told by their eldest men. And as I wrote in haste and had not enough paper, I could not put everything where it belonged. Yet I have made no mistake, for they believe everything is written here. Turning now to what I should have related first, I shall tell their beliefs concerning the origins of the sea. So this is where Pané, you know, he's confusing his data, but, you know, José Juan Arón, like I mentioned before in the other shows, he's a scholar from Yale, and he really dissected these stories. Also, Edwin Cedeño, I promise I'll have his songs in the show. We were talking privately, and he actually reached out to he actually reached out to José Juan Arón, and he gave him the interpretation of what's the order of the creation stories. But we started first with how the sea was made, with Yaya and Yayael and Deminan. And in Pané, it's actually chapter 9. So here we have it. We have the first era, which is Yaya and the creation of the ocean. Then we got the second era, or the second cycle of the Taino universe, introduction of Guajayona. And now we have, I introduce you to the third cycle, or the third era of the Taino universe, which is the recreation of women. So there you have it. I gave you an extra piece right there. Since we couldn't get the interview today, I'm sorry about that. But I promise in future shows, we're going to talk about these characters. We're going to talk about the places, like Yesibahagua, what are the meanings, and then we're going to go into the Semis as well, because as Pané continues to write, he talks about Semis. So it's very, very important to understand that there's a lot of symbolism here. We can't take this literal. You know, our ancestors were trying to figure out a way how to explain their origins. It's very important as historians now, as people looking back, you know, we can't judge our ancestors or our standards, you know, and it's dangerous to take this literally. You know, is there a Yesibahagua? In future shows, we're going to talk about caves that were discovered in Haiti, you know, present-day Dominican Republic. I know they have the three major caves there. And also in Morinquen, there's also caves there as well, in Jamaica. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about, and we have time. We have time. Our time is circular, so it's always spinning. It's always time to learn. And remember, Wasabara Taino Radio, we're trying to collect funds for the Taino youth. A lot of us, like I mentioned in the website, a lot of our youth, you know, we don't have access to federal money that helps the youth here who are Taino. We're not a federally recognized tribe or nation. So in the future shows, we're going to talk about how we're going to fundraise to get a scholarship going. Knowledge is power. And once you have that power, you can do what you want. You can do what you can in a good way. So we have to protect the future generation. So our show is almost coming to a conclusion. And I'd just like to thank everyone, and I apologize I couldn't get the music downloaded. Got a problem with the studio here. For the next show, we're going to do it. I'm going to be off on, Thursday. I'm probably going to do a day show. You can look on tainospidey.webs.com. You can look at a show, but we're going to have an amazing show on August 31st. It's the first part one of, guess what, Wasawara training. So tune in for that. You can go on the website once again and look for more information on that. So I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. And remember, this is Wasawara Taino Radio We're warriors. We declare war against ignorance and arrogance, for we have a right to exist.